This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple
bypass. Triple
bypass.
Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
Triple bypass acknowledges that we broadcast from the country of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations and acknowledge this land was never ceded. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
You don't need a reservation to take a little break. Go and choose your destination. I'ma navigate. I'm checking your condition. Terminally fine. Don't you bring no baggage. We're gonna travel light. Don't be nervous, dim the lights. Take your seat right next to mine. Lay back.
Yes, that was Fly by Kira Peru. That's James's fav song about having oral sex on a plane.
out of all of the songs about having oral sex on a plane, that is my favourite one.
You've tuned in to Triple Bypass, where the bisexuals are taking over the airwaves. We're here for you, bis, pans, polysexuals, and omnisexuals, queers, and everybody else, because we don't like to be picky or choosy. Mm-hmm. No gatekeeping allowed. We're very excited to be here tonight playing that wonderful song. So that was, James, can you tell us why we started off the show with Kira Peru?
I saw Kira Peru. She's quite new to the scene, relatively speaking. Like she's been releasing music for at least a year or two. I discovered Kira through this show because one of our guests, Danny, requested one of her tracks. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and I just did that thing where I was like, oh my God, I've got to find out everything about this person. And I saw her live just like a month ago at Northcote Social Club, and she mentioned on stage that she is queer, and I was just like, yes.
Excellent. We can finally play you on the show.
Any excuse to play more of your music on the show.
Well, this show's going to be a lot about music, what we play and also what we're talking about, because this is later on in the show, we've got our first of our Midsummer specials. And we're starting off with someone who was here for our last Midsummer special, which was over a year ago. Oh, gosh.
Mm.
That's right. We've got one of the stars from Killjoy the Cabaret coming up talking about their next big project. And for lovers of David Bowie, it's going to be very, very exciting to talk about. But before that, we've got a bit of Bi news, which is quite local. So there was an Out in the Work report, Out at Work report this year, which is produced by RMIT, the Diversity Council of Australia, and Star Observer. Still shows that a lot of LGBTI people are not out in the workforce, and the importance of people having visible role models to feel comfortable coming out. Now, the study also demonstrated a significant gaps for bisexual workers, with only 25% of bisexual people feeling that being out was important, compared to 57% of lesbians and 47% of gay workers. While also, bisexual people were least likely to be out, and they were actually lower than people who are transgender and intersex. So less than about 40% of bisexual people were actually out at work, compared to 80% or over 80% for gay and lesbian people. And the primary reason for bisexual people not being out was given as, colleagues would feel uncomfortable around me.
Yeah, that's really annoying. That percentage is higher than I actually thought. I'm actually surprised that it's not high enough. I get that, but I hear the reasons why bi people are now even in some queer workplaces and queer spaces. And we get those whispers in our ears because we're very out bi people.
Obnoxiously so.
Yeah, fabulously so. No, but it's,
why do you have to talk about it all the time?
Right? Yeah. Yeah. But that they would feel uncomfortable around us, Jesus.
Well, I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because I know that I've seen even in my friends when we're all hanging out, this big clump of bi, polyam, genderqueer people, and one person offered to give someone else a lift and they're like, oh, I hope they don't think I was hitting on them. And it's that fear, isn't it, I think, when you're multigender attracted to people, if you, that fear of your friendly gestures making anyone uncomfortable. But what was interesting was that this was like this, the results of this study were announced at a conference I was on last week called Pride and Practice. And that's when you have all the different pride groups who are within big companies, so big private companies, coming together and sharing tips on how they've basically managed to get their workplaces to adopt, you know, transition plans for anyone who transitions gender while at work, and, you know, celebration plans and like how to get LGBTI historic days of significance celebrated throughout the workplace.
Amazing.
And it was amazing. And I got to go and see someone who I'd met at the LGBTI Women's Health Conference speak on a bi panel that was set up. And one of the key issues raised by all the panelists was the frequent intrusive and really inappropriate questions they were getting asked. And they offered some examples, which was things like, what percentage are you, you know, have you actually ever slept with a girl / yeah. guy?
Standard.
How many threesomes have you had / do you want to have another one?
Yeah.
When will you make up your mind? And is this a phase?
We need new material, peoples. Come on, we've heard these ones before.
Literally, for decades.
Yeah. Like if somebody said, you know, oh, you're bisexual. You know, I've heard that at a full moon you turn into a giraffe. It's like, that's weird and strange and untrue, but hey, at least it's new. Yeah.
Well, see, what was great was like, I'm not sure if you saw, but a meme went viral, which is that bisexuals can't sit in chairs properly. And I think that actually...
See, I like that.
A lot of people did, and there was that sense of being like, yeah, that's a stereotype that, again, is absurd, but kind of relatable.
Yeah.
It's like maybe it's the anxiety.
The folded cuff pants and the fancy jackets.
Well, bisexuals pick their nose with their index finger on their
left
hand.
With a little toe on their
on
left
a Tuesday
foot.
Afternoon.
Get really creative with it. I suppose it's a question. Like, I remember I was out at my last job. I had like a little proud to be bisexual flag, and I was the only out person in the office. And to be fair, I was out about my sexuality. I was not out about my gender. And I wasn't out about other things. And even then, like, there was definitely that sense of bisexual... The questions people were mostly asking once they realised that I would actually answer them were things like, but when did you decide to be bisexual? Because bisexual is a practice. You know, you dabble in bisexuality.
I've practised quite a lot, actually.
Oh, so much. I've been practising every freaking day. And I thought, like, I'm not sure. So I'd love to hear from our listeners. Are you out at work? Is this something that you think is important? Because that's another thing that really stuck with me, that people don't feel it's important to be out at work. And I feel that's often because, you know, our sense of sexuality and our identity in that way is not really ever really celebrated. So it's not something that we think is important because we don't really know what it would be like to have it celebrated in the first place.
Yep.
And so another concern that was expressed by this panel was that there was a lack of bisexual people visible in wider society and pop culture, and that bisexual characters in film and television are usually erased and instead described as gay or lesbian, which can make it really hard to find role models.
And it's true because I, you know, the explanation why is it important that you're out anyway? You know, we're here to work. Sexual orientation is probably like that frustrates me probably more than the, you know, so what percentage are you gay? What percentage? Like,
but it's an internalized thing. Like, I guess, like, do you feel like it's important to be out at work? Outside, I'd love to hear. So you can message us on 0427JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. You can also find us on Facebook at Triple Bypass on Joy, on Twitter at Triple Bypass, and on Instagram at Triple Bypass Joy, which occasionally is updated. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
I have a cool bit of news.
Yes.
Go for it.
People who follow us on Facebook would have already seen this, but this is really, really awesome. So Bohemian Rhapsody, the biopic about Freddie Mercury and about Queen in general, it has passed $600 million in US dollars in ticket sales, which makes it officially the top grossing music biopic of all time.
Nice.
It's a great biopic.
Which is pretty astonishing. And it just keeps going up. Like, the numbers just keep going up on it, which is ridiculous. But I just think it's great. I mean, I know it's a somewhat problematic film that people have had some concerns about, but
I can jump in on that.
Awesome.
So on the Facebook group that I'm in, so the Bypass Community of Melbourne, an older guy did a post about seeing Bohemian Rhapsody, and he's, you know, he said, like, you know, he's 56 now, and when he was growing up, seeing the way that people responded to Freddie saying he was bisexual was exactly his experience.
Yes.
And so he felt that while a lot of people were saying, well, it's not great to see that not being challenged throughout the movie and just being kind of let to hang there, this, you know, he comes out and says, I'm bi, and his wife's like, no, Freddie, you're gay. But that was, and he was like, that's exactly what it was like.
Yeah, and I'm like, I was really upset at the response by Mary in the movie to Freddie when he used the word bisexual, but that created some conversation for me and my friends who watched the film, and I thought, okay, this is, you know, this is a conversation point.
And I guess the idea is it is showing a part of, it's showing a story that people can feel connected to, and that those stories aren't always happy, and they're not always perfect, but they are experiences. And I think there was that sense with both Bohemian Rhapsody and with, you know, the bisexual, the TV show on Stan, people are actually starting to see their own experiences, and that gives you a sense of ownership of yourself. And once you have that, I think, honestly, a lot of the like, this is just speculation, I'm not an academic, but bi pride is pretty hard to come by, and if you don't feel a lot of pride in yourself, it can be hard to deal with what can come from being out at work, just how to handle the little microaggressive comments that you get every day.
And that's why I think the comment from people at work who say, why even bother to come out, we're not here for your sexuality, whatever, is annoying, because if we have to avoid moments in conversations around our, you know, avoiding disclosures because we're worried about people's reactions, all these little incidental things that happen throughout the day, is quite stressful.
You'd have a thing like a swear jar, but it's a jar that they have to drop a coin in every time they mention anything about their own heterosexuality. You know, if they just sort of mention the word wife or husband, you know, in conversation, you go, yep, straight jar. Come on, coin in the straight jar.
See, what I actually think is interesting, though, is being out at work also reminds people around you that we exist.
Yeah.
So I remember when I once was at work and two of my colleagues were talking about something, and my friend, my manager had mentioned, like, someone, a woman and her partner, and then someone else asked about, like, oh, what's his name? She's like, oh, my God, don't be so heteronormative. And I was just like, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Officially queering the workplace, but it's also exhausting. Yeah. But speaking of what's not exhausting, or exhausting in the best possible way, we're getting close to midsummer.
Yes, yes.
And we're starting our first midsummer show, and I'm very excited to be welcoming back Kat Scobie to talk about their incredible lineup coming up with Rebel, a live circus tribute to the original Rebel, David Bowie. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss that. We'll be right here after this short break. You're on Triple Bypass on Joy. That's right. This is Joy 94.9, and that was Rebel Rebel by David Bowie. By con, appropriate as this is Triple Bypass.
That is the shortest station ID I've ever heard. Just someone shouting, Joy! And that's it.
That's what it's all about. Well, Joy to the world. It's Christmas time. Oh, gosh.
This is Triple Bypass.
I'm Ruby.
James.
And I'm Anthony. And well, you're here on a Tuesday night listening to... We've got a very special guest. Midsummer is coming up when we're speaking to Kat Scobie.
That's right. Hello. Thank you for returning to our show, Kat.
No, that's okay. I had a great time last time.
That's right.
And thank you for asking us to play Bowie, because it's always good to have an excuse.
Oh, any excuse to play Bowie, really. Right?
Absolutely. Well, I think I've been seeing a few articles. I think someone on Junkie listened to the all Bowie's tracks and just, like, documented the experience, which, you know, was hit by sleep deprivation by me. Hour 20, and so it got quite surrealist, which is appropriate, really.
Yeah,
anyway,
pretty much.
Introducing Kat, amazing. Bass guitarist, angle grinder artist, musician, actor, sideshow and circus performer based in Narm, Melbourne, and with the beginnings of visual art and puppetry. They graduated with a Bachelor of Visual Arts in 2004, worked professionally within the arts in the Lismore Lantern Parade in 2004, completed Certificate 4 in theatre performance and practices, and began training in circus in 2007, and has written, directed and performed contemporary circus, theatre, puppetry and cabaret all around Australia, and performed in Killjoy, the cabaret, the Midsummer Festival earlier this year, and as part of the Fringe Festival, and is due to release their first album with their band Scurvy and the Dogs next year. But all of that is not what we're here to talk about as much. We're here to talk about your show Rebel, a live circus rock tribute to the original Rebel, David freaking Bowie.
Yeah, David Bowie.
So do you want to give us a bit more of an idea of, so this show that is coming up, what can people expect from Rebel?
Rebel is a circus show with a live band playing lots and lots of Bowie music. So, yeah, and there's amazing glittery costumes, and we've had, yeah, a really, really great costume designer putting our work together, and it's going to be sparkly and shiny, and it's in the Melbourne Spiegelton again, so
fantastic. Yeah. And so,
speaking of glittery, having walls covered in mirrors, that helps.
Yes, it does help. Yeah.
Well, apparently it was inspired by the words of Bowie, I want to tart rock up. So is that, does your show tart rock up?
Yes, I would say it does. I mean, it's really intimidating working on work that's been done by such an incredibly, huge persona in the music industry, and also in the, arts industry in general.
Yeah.
I guess, like, it's really exciting and incredible to be doing it.
So is all the kind of the acrobatics and the aerials and the sideshows, are they kind of telling a story throughout the music, or is it really looking at David Bowie and his own transformations over his career? Because there are a few. He had a lot of personas that he would played it through. Ziggy Stardust being the one that immediately springs to mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I think the circus reflects the work of Bowie. Our director, Stuart Reeve, is... it was kind of like his baby. He was like, he really just wanted to do some work on Bowie. And so he and Eleanor Kirschbaum from High Wire Arts got together and put together a show, and she brought a whole lot of circus to the table. So their whole thing was like, let's get musicians that can also do circus. So that's kind of what they did. They were like, let's put it together. Bowie loved cabaret art stuff, like it's kind of all through his work and stuff, and was influenced and
he was clearly one of those artists for whom, like, all of it was part of the art, like the music was an element of the art, but it wasn't the entire art.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he was like a persona within his art form, within music and also with, like, visual arts and fashion and everything. Like,
yeah.
So educate me a little bit. So when you say musicians doing circus, like, I'm picturing all sorts of things. Give me a visual here.
So do you do some axle grinding? Are there sparks flying?
Yeah, I'm doing angle grinding, which is a new skill that I haven't done before. So that's kind of exciting. Yeah, I just kind of, like, put the bass down for a bit, and then I get up and I do a grinder act kind of in the middle of the whole thing.
Amazing.
Yes. Sparkly in a new way.
Yeah, so would people expect, like, so each song has its own kind of performance, similar to Killjoy, in that, like, there's kind of a narrative to the pieces, or...?
It's a little different to Killjoy. I think Killjoy was really based around storytelling, whereas I think Rebel is really based around... sort of, it's a tribute to Bowie, really, like, and all of that, all that that entails, and I think with a whole bunch of circus thrown in as well. So,
well, he did say, I don't want to climb out of my fantasies in order to get up on stage. I want to take them onto the stage with me. So, do you think? So, this show's almost like trying to personify some of Bowie's fantasies or Stewart's fantasies, maybe.
Yeah,
yeah, I guess so. I hope that we will, you know, do Bowie and his legacy proud. That's, yeah, I don't know.
It's a big task. I mean, we're taking on Midsummer with a bang, aren't we? This is really, I mean, this is exciting, really.
Well, yeah, I think absolutely. It's really exciting, I think, because David Bowie is kind of seen as like a queer icon without there really being that nuanced look at, you know, his own story of coming out as bisexual and people reading into songs like John, I'm Only Dancing, and that whole, there's like a famous caption of like, you know, David Bowie, bisexual, likes cats, does drugs. And that was like his, what he chose his caption.
There's a bumper sticker.
That's a swipe, right?
But yeah, and so I think, you know, and also he was quite, you know, he wore dresses. He was really effeminate. He really played with gender in a way that a lot of stars were trying to do at that time. But he
and was really controversial at the time too.
I mean,
there were radio stations that wouldn't play his music simply because of, you know, the way he would dress. Like, it wasn't even anything else. It was just his look. They'd go, "No, you're too odd. We're not going to play your music," because how the music sounds, of course, is very dependent on what makeup somebody's wearing.
Video killed the radio star.
Think about the risks gender fluid or gender queer people took on back then, especially when they had their careers, their livelihoods at stake.
And the language we have, or at least is becoming a bit more mainstream now, just didn't exist back then. So I don't think David Bowie ever identified as gender fluid or gender queer or androgyne or any of the labels that now might kind of seem to fit him.
I think David Bowie's sexual orientation was David Bowie and his gender was David Bowie.
See, but Carl, I'd like to have that. I'd like my gender to be Ruby.
Yeah. LGBTIQ plus
David Bowie. Oh, gosh. On that note, we're going to jump to Patti Smith. And this is a song chosen by Kat. We'll be right back after this break to talk more about the show, but also how it came to be and what else Kat's been up to. So stay tuned. You're listening to Triple Bypass. This is Joy 94.9.
Take me now, baby, here as I am. Pull me close, try and understand. Desire is hunger, is the fire I breathe. Love is a banquet on which we feed.
That's right. This is Joy 94.9. You've tuned into Triple Bypass, the bisexuality show where we take over the airwaves. That was Because the Night by the Patti Smith Group. I'm Ruby.
I'm James.
And I'm Anthony.
And we are joined in studio by Kat Scobie as the first of our Midsummer series. Kat Scobie is performing in Rebel, a live circus rock tribute to the original Rebel, David Bowie, in Midsummer early next year. We've been chatting about what to expect from the show. And during that one, and this was one of your songs. So can I ask, in the sea of David Bowie, what brought up Patti Smith, Kat?
Patti Smith was around at the same time. And I think as an artist, like, she was also really androgynous and an incredibly, like David Bowie, created an incredible umbrella for people to express themselves and be, you know, to grow as themselves and be freaks and weirdos and you know, play rock music and scream and, like, she's kind of we stand on the shoulders of giants, as you once said, and having people like Patti Smith and David Bowie sort of pave the way for, you know, through the goth scene and the punk scene and all those incredible, you know, people through that time, like, that would probably have identified strongly as non-binary and queer had it, you know, been more spoken about back then. Like, there is, you know, these people to look back to that are, you know, our elders.
Because I know Patti Smith has said that she identifies as a cis woman, or at least a few years ago she said that, but she also said that it was really important to her to really explore her gender through the music, and apparently a lot of her songs are sort of written sort of from male perspectives or from sort of sexually ambiguous perspectives and stuff like that as
androgynous
well.
Androgynous perspectives?
Yeah.
Fluid perspective,
something like that.
Queer as fuck perspective.
Yeah, and she said in a couple of interviews that it's like that doesn't really reflect who she is on a fundamental level. Mm. But she also thought it was really important, and she loves that she was inspirational to other people who actually, you know, are queer or exist outside the sort of cisgender identities.
Well, the art scene and culture is. Provides a platform for that sort of expression to occur with maybe some more ease or for freedom or permission or something?
I think there's more of an expectation that people in the arts will self-express in radical ways, maybe? I'm not sure, Kat.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Patti Smith didn't embrace particularly... I think that she didn't embrace a really feminine look, is like, you know, and she sort of fronted a rock band and was like hugely influential as a, you know, a female artist at the time. Like, is, you know, you kind of get that confusion between, like, you know, what's like identifying as a woman and that being a really important thing so that there's visibility of women in rock and stuff like that. But also I think that she was also influential as, you know, to non-binary people, like...
Mm. I think any kind of performer who codes themselves in a way that is clearly not the set binary, so is clearly saying, like, you know, this is not what you'd expect from a woman or what you'd expect from a man, and I'm okay with that, and I'm going to shove it in your face anyway.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty relatable, the non-binary experience.
Grace Jones comes to mind, as in a kick-ass way.
And of course, and of course Bowie.
Prince,
of course,
Bowie. Yeah. Prince, yeah. And also, Iggy Pop to an extent, and, like, a whole bunch of other, like, you know, rock
even musicians. Joan Jett toyed with it a bit.
Yeah.
Just quickly, we did get some messages in. To all the bisexuals out there, greetings from Bali. From an ally, Esh, also... Hey, as a Bowie fan, I'm excited for the show. It sounds like fun. Can you post the details on Facebook, please? Cheers from Kiki. Kiki will definitely post the details on Facebook, but also, Kat, where can people find out information about the upcoming show?
You can actually, Rebel, the show has a Facebook page. You can see a whole bunch of photos and details about the show there. On at the Melbourne Spiegel Tent. We open on the 30th of Jan and we're running till the 3rd of February. You can get tickets from the Midsummer website, so get on down and check that out, Kiki. Thanks.
We'll definitely make sure to post that information up on Facebook and get along to it. If you've got any questions for Kat or any of the things we've talked about, have you got a particular artist whose exploration of gender and sexuality, even if it wasn't overt, was really important to you? Shoot us a message on 0427JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. Jumping forward a bit from that, I was thinking about how when you're talking about goths and punk, I was also thinking of the emo subculture that happened in, like, you know, the early 2000s, and the emo bands, which were kind of looking at men, again, presenting with kind of an effeminate way, so wearing makeup, and how a lot of people who were part of that culture was kind of the first real subculture that we'd experienced in my generation where we could actually start to, again, play with gender a bit, and men were allowed to be more effeminate and allowed to kind of do those things that were not strictly male or, like, binary male things.
Yeah.
And just kind of how, since then, the main singer of Panic! The Disco has come out as bisexual. I think Pete Wentz from Fall Out Boy has come out as... I'm not sure exactly what word he uses, but he's not straight.
It's really funny how cyclical this is, though, because when the Beatles first became popular, like, they were shocking. Billy Joel was doing a thing when he was talking about how the Beatles influenced his music, and he was saying that when he first saw them, he was like, these are guys with haircuts like girls. Like, that's a word thing he used. They had girls' haircuts.
Yeah, right.
And it was really startling and different, but it made everyone just sort of go, oh, who are these guys? And,
it's funny to think of the Beatles, you know, as far as, like, presentation being so radical.
In their suits.
In their suits, but with their girl haircut.
Yeah.
Wait till they see the guys I see around now. One of my friends from Germany moved here and said in Melbourne he'd never seen so many women with short hair and men with long hair in his life. Mm. And I think it's an interesting area how, like, you know, that kind of self-expression is one of the first things people start to play with when gender starts to become a question.
Yeah, absolutely. Hair is very, very important.
How about heavy metal in the 80s, those tights and the long hair and the makeup? And didn't heavy metal in the 80s bring something to gender fluidity?
That wasn't heavy metal.
Poison.
That was pop metal.
Hair metal. Yeah. Big hair metal.
Yeah. Bon Jovi.
It was also like both, like, hyper masculine and, like, you know, hyper femme at the same time. So
yeah. Something was going on.
So hyper androgynous.
Lots of cocaine.
I love it.
So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the show, though. So how did it sort of come about? What was the germ of the idea?
Stuart
into Bowie, just a big Bowie head.
Big Bowie fan. He was working at Dracula's a lot, and Drax in Melbourne shut down.
It sure did.
It sure did, which is very unfortunate for a
bootleg lot of people. Bootleg alcohol, I think, was the reason
for
that.
Yeah, so he was looking for a new project, and so he talked to Eleanor Kirschbaum, who's the director of Gluttony and also Highwire Arts, and they cooked up a scheme to do a Bowie and circus show together, and that's kind of... And then Eleanor put a post out on Facebook looking for, performers, musicians that could also perform circus.
How did that fit you?
Yeah, it was really well.
How many musicians who can do circus acts are there in Melbourne?
I don't know. I actually want to find that post again and read it and see if it's like.
So what kind of performances are there in the show? Without giving away too many spoilers.
There's hoops. There's a couple of aerial acts. So there's, like, a trapeze act and a silks mm-hmm. act. There's a I didn't say this wrong. Lycier.
You're asking the wrong
like
people.
It's a, like a big wheel. It's kind
of, like a hamster wheel for people.
Kind of like like a German wheel, but more refined.
Yeah.
You'll have to get along to the show to check it out if you want to know
angle,
exactly what we're
angle grinding, and which angle is grinding. And that's basically. So, can you explain what that is?
That's kind of where you get an angle grinder and you put it on your costume and it makes sparks.
Oh, off your costume?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's cool. I was that thinking cool. You had a piece of metal on the stage, but you're actually doing it off your costume.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of look like a superhero or something.
Pow, pow, pow. Well, it's like, when you see, like, they're trying to, like, you know, cut into Superman, it just kind of bounces off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get to be bulletproof a bit with a mask.
Yeah, that's right.
So you'll be wearing like a suit of armour.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, actually, Lolly Ruby Redpath made me some amazing gauntlets. And,
wow.
Yeah.
So a bi superhero.
I think
so. Bowie music.
Look, we love
sparks,
a good costume.
Mirrors, angle grinders,
acrobatics,
giant German wheels,
trapeze,
people suspended on silks. This sounds like a pretty astonishing
pole
show.
As well as a suspended pole, like
pole
to, like Lazarus. You guys know that's newer Bowie.
I know. I remember. Yeah. I listened to the last album. It was heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's incredible, and the visuals that they made to it are just incredible as well.
He really kind of stayed true to
just kept
being himself in that sense of just continuing to push even when, and he wrote that album as a goodbye, like he knew he was dying through a lot of it.
Yeah, keeping it real forever.
So is there any exploration of Bowie's of his sexuality and gender in the performance?
That's a good question. There's not really a script. I mean, it's like within the lyrics of the songs and stuff like that. I think when they were designing our costumes and stuff like that, I was like, I want to be like really androgynous, please. but that doesn't really say, you know, what anything much about.
There's a pretty spectacular photo of you in mid-angle grind on the Facebook page. So that's Rebel the Show at Facebook, if anyone wants to see it. We'll definitely link to it on our Facebook page, which is Triple Bypass on Joy. Also, if you want to hear about Kat's other stuff, you can find that out at triplebypass.joy.org.au/triplebypass and just search for Killjoy. And you'll be able to hear the representation now and the show we did about your last program as well, to get an idea of the kind of stuff that you can do.
Absolutely.
We're going to jump to another song. This is Bowie next time, don't worry. No one tweet at me, but we're doing another Bowie song. And that will be Let's Dance, the single version. And after that, I think we'll have a bit more of a chat about what it's going to be like to perform in another Midsummer and how the last few years have been so far as performing this kind of increasingly queer showcases that you've been putting on. Awesome. It's very exciting. Stay tuned. This is Triple Bypass and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
If you say
That was Let's Dance by David Bowie. This is Triple Bypass, and you're listening on Joy 94.9. My name's Ruby.
I'm James.
I'm Anthony.
We're here to put the B in LGBTIQA+, and that was Kat. Oh, Kat. I was going to introduce you.
I didn't give you a big enough window.
You are in the show now. We're going to keep you. Okay, this is your third time, and that's when the contract is sealed.
It's quadruple bypass now.
Yes. 3% chance of survival. Something like that. It's all the bypasses. There's only four ventricles.
And that was a bit of Bowie. We just listened to Let's Dance.
That's right.
With its amazing, weird video that was filmed in northern New South Wales in the middle of nowhere at this little one pub town called Corinda.
Amazing. Check that out. We've been on a bit of a Bowie trip tonight because Kat has been telling us about their show coming up, which is called Rebel, which is part of the Midsummer Festival, which will be shown at the Melba Spiegel tent. You can find the details at the Midsummer website. We'll also post up on our Facebook page. And it's a live circus rock tribute to the original Rebel, Bowie, with the main singer, Stuart Reeve, being a former Dracula's performer. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Amazing. And so, but Kat, we had you on the show in November last year. And isn't that a bit of a time warp?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like that long ago at all. Wow.
No, it doesn't. And, yeah. I remember you talking then about your kind of own discoveries with your own queerness and you're beginning to discover a lot of stuff about gender. So in the 13 months since we've had that chat, can we talk a bit about how that's been going as well? You're doing another big queer midsummer show.
Yeah.
This has become obviously a thing that you're focusing on a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, it feels like one of those things I've just kind of fallen into in a really great way. I guess I don't know, it's a funny thing. I mean, I was talking before to you guys about like kind of being, you know, in the 90s and what it was like to be a young person considering coming out, and I just didn't even, it was so frightening and stuff that I kind of just like put it under the carpet a lot, like, and now it's funny that the vote, that fucking horrible vote. Sorry, I'm not supposed to swear on this.
No, it's after
we're
nine.
After nine.
Oh yeah,
that fucking horrible vote.
And just for, like, you know, many of my best friends are gay and, you know, want to get married and are now getting married. Mm. Is like, I was kind of fighting for them and posting a lot about stuff and just like, you know. And then I kind of realized it was a really huge thing for me as well, and that I had been, you know, that it felt now really important. And a year on from that, I feel safer to just actually be out, like, as you know, and that's a really important thing. And, you know, having sort of been corrected on my gender fucking for I don't know how many. So many, many years of, like, not being a binary person, but being corrected to be a
girl.
Trying
to fit a bit more in.
Yeah, and sort of now, yeah.
And growing up in school, did you have
language for it now?
Yeah. We do have the language for it now, but when we didn't have the language for it, so back in high school, I know we're talking about Bowie a lot tonight. Did you have other figures, public figures, that you would grab onto and say, this person speaks to me, I can sort of relate to this?
Patti Smith.
Well, probably not at that time. I guess I was I think that's kind of the thing. Like, and especially not in my close circle. I mean, I had one friend in high school that was like bullied mercilessly for being gay, and I would constantly defend them by saying, no, they're not gay, like, just piss off, like, yeah. And then, you know, we finished high school, like, and got out of there, and they were like, oh yeah, you know that I'm actually gay.
I
knew that.
Oh, that's really sweet.
I think it's hard. It can be hard to reconcile that the best defense we can put out there was no.
No.
To deny it.
Deny it.
And so this year, how have you found
got
as
us
far
high
as
school.
Since you kind of, we all went through the collective trauma of the voluntary postal survey plebiscite bullshit.
Yeah.
See, you can see
that's it. The official. that's the official title there.
It's official title.
Official title.
And but so how have you found community now?
Community, just. Well, way more out and proud, like, way more, I think. And also, like, that allies coming out of the woodwork and, like, being, you know, like, my partner now calls everyone they rather than just...
Assuming.
Assuming, like, and does... And little things like that make a huge fucking difference, yes. actually. Like, yeah. being able to sort of talk to my... I talked to my sister about it for the first time, like...
How weird are those conversations when they happen for the first time in family, but there's this freedom to do it now, and it's just like...
That's terrifying. I thought I was... Like, I didn't come out to my family when I was 14 because I was like, I'm going to have to choose between them or, you know, my lifestyle right. kind of thing or whatever. Yeah. Like, it was... horrible time.
I think it's interesting.
And it's yeah. new now. Like, it's different. There's a sense of hope and, like, safer spaces than there used to be.
And did performance give you sort of set of tools that you could use to actually explore that a little bit and present it to people to sort of go, you know, actually, this is who I am, or at least this is who I think I might be? What was your performance background, I suppose?
Yeah, that's a really good question. This is actually, like, one of the first shows I've done where I'm not writing it or, you know, writing/directing or, you know, being...
Just to be clear, that's Rebel, not this radio show. We write nothing.
Yeah, we're writing...
It's all off the cuff.
We wrote this a few weeks ago and we've rehearsed it really well.
So well.
There's, like, I'm kind of essentially a session musician with... Like, the act that I'm doing in it is written by me, but, like, you know, leading up to that, I guess, like, I've been doing Circus Sideshow and I've, you know, identified with that sort of, like, punk sideshow scene for a long time and was in Caravan of Doom and we had a rather dodgy... Yeah, we had a trans character in there and we did some really dodgy sideshow and acrobatics and stuff like that and did terribly dangerous things and rode motorbikes a lot and which was way less considered than the work we did in Killjoy, for example. And I guess that whole time I think that my expression of identity and queerness and non-binariness has always come out through my work in music and sideshow and stuff like that. It's like,
because my experience of circus people is that it tends to be a fairly sexually non-mainstream, I suppose I'd say, as far as sexuality and gender are concerned. There seems to be a fair bit of people who are just like either just sort of don't really give that much of a shit about the binaries, really, and are just sort of happy to float somewhere in between and don't really mind.
Well, writing a way to join the circus has always been that sense of kind of rejecting mainstream society.
Like being an outsider and like kind of, the misfits banding together and doing their...
The misfits and the freaks.
The misfits and the freaks. Yeah. Not the band, the misfits. You know, misfits as in, like, people that don't fit in with mainstream stuff.
Which is, it seems to be a growing group of people, I would say. I think that kind of... And that... So,
which is awesome.
Yeah, and I think what's happened with the last year is that the less... Even, like, the less binary identities are trying to kind of come out more because there's more of a language and open discussion around that too, which there couldn't really be until we started to get the framework down.
Just having a word for it can be such an empowering thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, you know, we can talk about okay, so gay and lesbian, but also there's bi and pan and polysexual and queer and all these other sexualities that don't necessarily mean just one gender at all times. And that means we should stop assuming someone's gender based on who they're dating and stop assuming someone's straight if they look like they're in a heterosexual relationship. And let's look at gender and stop talking about there only being two when there's been more than one for thousands and thousands of years. This isn't a new concept. We're just finding new ways to talk about
it. Totally. And even for allies and for any of us, saying the word they, when just as a default to refer to everyone, just sets a lovely tone, I think, to a conversation. It just, it does something, doesn't it? Something nice to the conversation.
Yeah, it does. It does that. I heard something similar feminist. It was about 5 or 10 years ago, and I can't remember her name. I'm sorry about that. But she, you know how in French, like French language, you know, when you refer to, and also German, but
Spanish, I think, is quite a few.
Like when you say to talk about like the table or the door or the like, it's got a gender. Like the has is like okay. Yes. So the male the male thing. Like, yeah. Die, der, das is, like, in German. So, die is feminine.
Feminine and plural, yeah.
Yeah, das.
Der is masculine, and das is neutral.
Mm. So, this French feminist was using the French equivalent of that, which is, like, you know, just neutral to refer to inanimate objects, to take the gender out of that. And, yeah, I think when we start to deconstruct gender within our society and our framework, we start to kind of see people blossom into, you know, the people that they can, you know, be without having to worry about whether they're fitting in or not. They can just actually create amazing, you know, amazing cures for cancer or
music. David Bowie, if he tried to fit into what is seen as the stereotypical male role, not a chance in hell would have any of his music.
I just sometimes think, you know, how many wonderful sort of painters and things like that there would have been who felt locked out by their gender, or how many amazing, you know, ballet dancers there would have been who thought the ballet was too girly and they were men who didn't want to do that. And it's like, how many amazing things have we missed out on because of this crap?
But how many amazing things can we look forward to because we dissemble it all?
Gotta get better.
Just let's end that on a high note, because we do have to wrap up. We got the next show coming up, which is a Local Roots Summer Sessions, which is very exciting.
Hosted by Dana.
So stay tuned, listen to that. And also, please don't forget to check out Kat's show, Rebel, which you can find on the Midsummer website. We'll also post plenty of details for that. A live circus rock tribute to David Bowie himself. What an incredible night it's going to be.
Get into it.
And that's from the 30th of Jan until the 3rd of February, so don't miss out. Also, come march with us at Pride. There's a huge bike going at the Melbourne Pride March. We'll post details for that too.
We'll have more mentions of that soon.
Come be visible and make bad puns on your signs. It's tradition.
I'm also in another show called Radical Rituals, which is a Glitter Fist Productions show. And that's on also in the Melbourne Spiggleton, and you can also find tickets to that on the Midsummer website. So,
And fantastic. I'll put that on Facebook too. Stay tuned. We'll be back next week.
It's Christmas.
It is indeed Christmas. More importantly, it's our Midsummer special shows. So stay tuned to see what else is coming up in the Biosphere. This is Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.